Well, it's a good thing to serve the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. There's benefits from serving the Lord. And we're going to talk about that just a little bit. You have your Bible open to Deuteronomy chapter number 6. And last week we were talking about some things that should be seen in a Christian home. And we talked about the Lord's presence. And then we talked about the Lord's love. And so I thought we would turn to this and passage of Scripture and get some truth out of this, just some things that ought to be in our homes as believers. What is a Christian home? And so we'll talk about that a little bit as we navigate down through these Scriptures. I want to say before we get into the Scriptures, I think that everyone in the congregation tonight, as I look across and scan across the congregation during the psalm service, I just feel that everyone realizes the trouble that many of our homes are in. The homes of our country are in trouble. And we talk about often how that the devil has his guns pointed, you know, and certainly we've seen our government is corrupt. Our government is corrupt. And I'm not, listen, it just is what it is. I'm not trying to flare something up or, you know, it just is what it is. Our government's corrupt. Satan has had his guns pointed at our state houses for many years, and we've seen our government go down. And that saddens me. Now, that doesn't make me, I don't stand here saying that with joy. It saddens my heart that our country has made the turn that she's made. And then I look at our schoolhouses. You know, that's our state houses. I look at our schoolhouses, and my goodness, how our schoolhouses have turned into really just breeding grounds for immorality and drugs and liberalism and anti-God mindsets, the teaching of the evolution. It's terrible. And the guns that Satan has toward the schoolhouse, well, we've seen the effect of it. And then there's the church house. I think about our state house and our schoolhouse. Just look at how church has changed in our lifetime, brethren. There was a day when the local church stood for something. People had reverence and respect for the house of God. Can I tell you, those days are dwindling. Well nigh gone. It's a sad day in which we live. And I'm not trying to paint a gloomy picture. What I'm trying to do is show you this thing of the devil attacking our country and the institutions of our country is real. It's not just a preaching point. It's not just a talking point. It's a reality. And we've seen how that it has affected our country. But you know, the greatest artillery that hell has to offer is not toward our state houses or our schoolhouses, not even the church house. It's your house. In my house. I want you to know that. He's coming after you. He's not coming after me. Well, years ago, people said that about state houses and the schoolhouses and the church houses. Where are we? So, yes, he is coming after you and your house and me and my house, and we need to prepare ourselves. So, well, we're just going to isolate ourselves and we're going to hunker down. That's not the answer. You need to bow down, not hunker down. Get on our face before the God of heaven. Humble ourselves. Amen. And pray and turn from our wicked ways. That's right. We need to get a hold of God. And we need to quit playing church. This form of religion is killing us. It's ruining us. It's ruining our homes. It's ruining our churches where people just go through the motions. Now, in this reading, I understand I'm in the Old Testament here. And I know what's going on here. And I just trust that God will somehow sober our minds and get our attention on really what's happening. The children of Israel had come out of bondage. And God was leading them to a new land. And he said, if you're going to go to a new land, you're going to need some laws and you're going to need some things to govern you so that you can live in a certain way among the people in that land. And so he begins to give them, in chapter 5, The Ten Commandments are mentioned. I know they're mentioned in Exodus 20, but the second time they're mentioned here in chapter number 5 of Deuteronomy. And then in chapter number 6, Moses and Aaron, Moses says, listen, God wants you to teach your children some things because he wants this to be something that goes from generation to generation to generation. He mentions that. If you'll look in verse number 2, he talks about thou and thy son and thy son's son, you and your children and your grandchildren. And I don't think I'd be doing any dishonor to the scripture in saying this, and your great-grandchildren. And if God blesses you to live that long, your great-great-grandchildren. Just keep being an example. Keep passing it down. Keep living for God. Keep standing up for something. Don't bow down to it. Don't give in to it. Amen. He said, you need to take hold of, in verse number 1, look what he said, the commandments and the statutes and the judgments. This week I looked those words up, and I wanted to know what they were and why God specified these three instead of just saying, do what I command you to do. You know, I think we all know what the commandments of God are. I sure hope you do, because the Bible says, if you love me, keep my commandments. And so if you say, well, you know, I don't know what the commandments are, I have a real reason to wonder and doubt, do you really love God? How are you going to keep the commandments when you don't know what they are? I'm not being critical of you. I'm not being hate. I just want you to know this is reality. Brethren, we are America's last hope. If our families don't take hold of the teachings of this book, so, well, preacher, what about this family and that family and this family? That's what's got us where we are. See, I need to focus on my family. And you need to focus on your family. And this needs to focus on this and that on that. We need to focus on what God has put in front of us. And then as we get this settled, then God will take that household salvation, that household living, that Christian living, and be a light unto those around us. And then we can begin to impact those around us. But until we start at home, it's not going to mean a whole lot. When people can look, listen, God himself said it. Paul wrote, and he said, Timothy, I'm going to tell you something. He said, don't you attempt to rule the house of God if you can't rule your own family. Amen. And I just believe that we're living in a day when men have set aside their God-given position, their God-given duty to fear God and keep his commandments, to lead their home, to be an example, to be a strong leader, to govern their family, to get their families under the strong, spirit-filled teachings of the Word of God. Amen. We need some men to step up. You say, preacher, it's Mother's Day. Preach to the women. Amen. We need some men to step up and be leaders. Amen. And not little weaklings. Listen, gentlemen. I call upon you. Listen, I implore you by the grace of God, we have a duty before us. Amen. To rear up our children and to guide our homes and to put a hedge about us and to pray the angels of God around our homes and say, God, help my dwelling to be a dwelling of light in this old dark world. We ought to let our light shine. Jesus said, you don't light a candle now and put it under a bushel. He said, no, you sit it on a stand. Why? He said, that the whole house might be lit. See, your house needs light, sir. And you're the priest of your home. And I'm the priest of mine. God help us. We need the Lord's help. I thank God for good Christian men, good Christian ladies, good Christian families. I just want to go down through these scriptures and talk to you about some of the things that God told these children, these people, the children of Israel, as they were getting ready now. They're on the brink. They're getting ready to cross over. And God said, here's some guidelines, some standards. Where have our guidelines and our standards gone? It's just as if we're in the book of Judges, where every man does that which is right in his own eyes. And brethren, I'm telling you, it's hurting us. It's hurting us. There was a day when the church of the living God had some standard about it. Amen. Had some guideline, some principle about it. And now it is though that folks have adapted this mentality. Well, you know, I'm not convicted. Well, you don't need to be convicted about something that's commanded. Amen. You need to be obedient. That's the word we're searching for. Obedient to what God has commanded. So let's navigate. And I want you to know, this is not now. It's not. You say, preacher, you seem a little mad. Well, I'm glad you noticed. It's times when folks get mad. I'm not mad at you. And I hope you're not mad at me. We're family. We're a body. We're a church. We're brethren. We're allies. We're on the same team. We're fighting the same enemy. But God knows we need to wake up. We need to be stirred up. Our families are in trouble. And if our families are in trouble, that means our church is in trouble. And if our churches are in trouble, that means our community's in trouble. And if our community's in trouble, that means our nation's in trouble. And if our nation's in trouble, this world's in trouble. Brethren, we're in trouble. We're in trouble. Look, if you would. He said here in verse number 1, he said, now these are the commandments. And that just simply means what God has commanded you to do. And the statutes, I looked this word up. The statutes. And while I may not give the full definition of statute, it means an appointed or a set time or task. So God said, listen, he said, this is specific. This is an appointment. This is a task that I've given you to do. And then he said, not only am I giving you commandments and statutes, he said, but judgments. He said, that's the verdict. I'm not changing my mind. This is what I want you to do. It's as though that folks in our day are living like God's changed his mind. Brethren, God has not changed his mind. God has not changed his mind. He changes not. We're in trouble because we have changed our mind about God's mind. And so here we are. He said, I want you to do this. He said, I want you to know that I've given you these things to teach you, in verse 1, that you might do them. Now, I've said this many times from this pulpit. We're living in a knowledge age. And by the way, that is a fulfillment of prophecy in the book of Daniel. There is no way. In a moment's time, I'm amazed. You can type something in the search engine and I mean, boom, immediately. I mean, it's amazing. The knowledge. Now, I don't always, you got to fact check some of this stuff. Amen. Yeah. But I mean, there's just a world of knowledge and the technology that's on us. It's amazing. And it's as though that it's crept into the church and now people think, you begin to talk to people about God and what God is and what God expects and what God teaches. And the whole time you're talking to them, they're going, yeah, I know, yeah, I know, yeah, I know. Well, listen, notice what God said here. He said, I'm teaching you this that you might do them. Not just know them. Right? Remember Matthew chapter 15. Are you listening? He said that you're blessed, you're happy if you know these things and do them. Right? Just knowing them, that's not enough. And I fear that because of this age that we live in, folks just take in knowledge, even Bible knowledge. They can quote you scripture. Now, they don't live it. No. But they can quote you scripture left and right. But God said, I'm giving you this so that it will impact your behavior. See, belief, true biblical belief ought to impact behavior. And so he said, I want you to know these things in verse number one, to do them in the land whither you go to possess it. Then he said in verse number two, he said, I want to talk to you about how you ought to live when you get in that land. And so he said this. Notice a few things he said in verse number two and three. He said, this is the way you ought to live. Now, we have a lot of folks say, well, you know, how should a Christian live? Well, I think the Bible's very clear as to how a Christian is to live. Titus chapter number 2 just spells it right out. Soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Amen. Listen, that's for your mind. Soberly, righteously, that's your actions. Godly, that's your inward. Listen, it all starts inwardly and works out. It does. If your attitude is right, your actions will follow. But if you have a bad attitude, you're gonna practice some bad actions. Keep your attitude. God help me to keep my attitude. We need to keep our attitude in check. The devil is at work trying to get us to harbor these sins of the attitude, jealousy and envy and malice. See, we're so quick to look to the outward, and we look and we think, well, this and that. But what about the inward? You see, now they both matter. They both matter. And so he says here in verse number two, he said, now I'm giving you these to do them. Why? He said, that ye mightest fear. Now here's our first way. Fear the Lord thy God. We ought to live reverently. That word fear means reverent. We ought to reverence the Lord. We ought to have a genuine respect for the things of God. You ought to teach your children to have a genuine respect for the things of God. Amen. We're slipping. Every parent ought to sit down with their children on a regular basis and teach them to have a genuine respect for the things of God. The Word of God, the people of God, the ministry of God, the house of God. We ought to be reverencing the Lord and the things of God. And we ought to be teaching our children. He said in verse number two, look at it now. He said, I want you to teach your sons and your sons' sons these things, to reverence the Lord. Say, preacher, how do you teach somebody to respect God? By respecting God. Reverence is caught a lot easier than it's taught. See, when my children see me reverencing God, that's going to teach them to reverence God. Now, here's a word I want you to write down, okay? I want you to write this word down. Mirror. Your children, listen, you are a mirror. You are a model. They're watching. They're imitating. Our children watch us. And when they see us playing fast and loose and doing about half of what God said and running down the preacher or the teacher or the church family, when they see us living loose and light with the commandments of God, and then we try to tell them, hey, hey, it's time to get in line, children, they laugh in their soul. Hey, they might not laugh in your face, but they're laughing in their soul, you see. When you say, hey, now, y'all live for God, they're thinking, what about you, Dad? Wasn't you at the ball game on Sunday when church was going on? Wasn't you staying home watching the race during prayer meeting? He said, I'm teaching you these things that you may do them. And he said in verse number two, that thou mightest fear the Lord thy God. He said, I want you to teach them to your sons and your sons' sons. I want you to teach your children to reverence the Lord. How do you do that? By reverencing the Lord. Being serious with God. Not one foot in the church and one foot in the world. Not amen and shouting hallelujah on Sunday and cursing like a sailor on Monday. Now say amen. Not singing for Jesus on Sunday and then singing for the song of the fool on Monday. See, this is what is corrupting our young people. And God help us to understand. We're not perfect. I understand that. You say, well, I am a preacher. No, you're not. Don't make me have to prove you lie. There's none of us perfect. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about perfection here. I'm talking about just a genuine reverence for the God of heaven. To where you love the Lord and you love His word and you love His people and you love His house and you love His work. You reverence it. It means something to you. It doesn't compare with the job. There may be a time you have to walk into your supervisor's office and say, hey, I'm not going to do that. I will do whatever I can. I will work double time. But I'm not going to work on the Lord's day. That's God's day. Oh, now, preacher, the ox is in the ditch. I'll get out of here with that. We're not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. We're to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And if we hadn't got that down, good brother, then we're not going to be a good influence. We're not going to be a model to our children and the next generation. Where does it end? Where does it end? Be staying out of church for a ball game, little league. And I'm telling you, it has adversely affected the next generation. And here he said, that thou mightest fear the Lord thy God. Look what he said here. To keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I commanded thee. Thou and thy sons' sons. So I don't like that preacher. Well, you can take it up with God and Moses when you get to heaven. I'm just telling you what God said. There was a day when this was just simple preaching. People would say amen, preach on. But now people, you know, they kind of bow up and think, well, now, wait a minute now. Times have changed. I know that, but God hasn't. Churches have changed too, but God hasn't. Christians have changed too, but God hasn't. And it's killing us. It's hurting us, brethren. It's hurting this next generation. There's one thing I learned when I actually learned quite a few things bringing up my children. They always carry it to another level. So we have to be really careful. All right? Could I just say to the fathers, and you know I love you. I love the men of this church. I brag on the good I do as a pastor. I'm a blessed man. We have good, strong male leadership here at Fellowship Baptist Church, and I thank God for you. I do. I just want to ask you to stay strong. Stay strong. Don't give in. The devil is working and he just keeps picking away, doesn't he? Just keeps chipping away, trying to get you to give a little bit here, give a little bit there, back off a little bit here. I'm not the only person he's doing that to, am I? Come on, man, help me out. Am I the only man in here that the devil's working on that way? If I am, before this service is over, I'm going to stand up front and get you to get around me and pray. Is the devil doing that to you, sir? Come on. Back off here. Back off here. Don't take a stand on this. Don't take a stand on that. Why? Because the devil has his guns not pointed just at the state house and the schoolhouse and the church house, but at your house. And he's trying to get you to back off some things. They say today that you can't be stern with children. You run them off. Where are you going to run them? Where are you going to run them? Hell's got them. Where are you going to run them? We need some young folks that understand some tough love. Amen. Some tough love. Tender love's good too, but tough love. Some work ethic. Some responsibility. I want you to notice what he said here. He said in verse number 2, he said, that thou mightest fear the Lord thy God to keep all his statutes and his commandments. Now I want you to notice, number 1 speaks about the reality of God. But number 2 talks about our responsibility to God. See, here's where the breakdown is. I've seen it. I've watched it over and over again. You can ask most young people about God and they can give you a little answer. The fear of God, who God is, what God has done, and those kind of things. But the next thing is the responsibility. It goes further than a reality. Someone must know more than God is a reality. We must understand that we have a responsibility to God. We're responsible to the God of heaven. We need to teach a young generation, you are accountable to God. The way you do that is you put guidelines and guardrails in your home. And listen, you demand some things. Our children are running our homes. Dad, that's not good. It's not good. I can't tell you the times that I've had to walk away from situations in public settings because as your pastor, I have absolute confidence in our assistant pastors, but I don't want to go to jail. And I know just as sure if I stay in that environment, I'll say something and it won't end up good. Young people talking to their parents like they're animals. Oh my goodness. See, that's where this is degraded to. Young people just disrespectful, disobedient. These things just ought not to be. Well, preacher, I love my children too much to discipline them. Well, the Bible says that you don't love them if you don't discipline them. You can tell yourself all that you want to tell them, tell yourself as long as you want to tell yourself. But if you're not disciplining and chastening your children, you don't love them. Make yourself believe whatever you want to make yourself believe, but I'm telling you what this book says. I told you last week, I have searched the Scriptures trying to find where it's commanded to love your children. You say, well, people just love their children naturally, don't they, preacher? Well, I think that a husband just ought to naturally love his wife. My goodness, you married her. Amen. But yet I'm commanded to love my wife like Christ loved the church. And Paul wrote young Titus and he said, now Titus, he said, you teach those women to love their husbands and to teach their children, those young women, those young girls to love their husbands and their children. Is that what he said? It is. But when it talks about parents and children, it's always honor and obey until it comes to correction. Then say, if you love your son, you'll chasten him betimes. That's Proverbs 13:24. So discipline and instruction go together, and it's a very big part of loving your children. So, number one, fear. You got it? Look in verse 2. Fear the Lord. We're talking about how we ought to live. We ought to live in reverence to the Lord. Number two, we ought to live in not only just reverence, but to live righteous. We ought to keep, look what he said, all his statutes and commandments. We ought to live righteously now. Oh, but preacher, we're just old sinners saved by grace. I know that, but we have the Holy Ghost living in us. And he's teaching us. He's helping us. Right? Amen. To live a godly, fruitful life. So, live reverently, live righteously. And then notice what he said. He said, if you'll do this, and I'm not going to call some names, but there's a couple of men in here I've been working with, and they know who they are. And we began to talk about some principles in life. I said, God will bless your life if you'll do what God has said. I just want to put this out there now. I'm not going to finish this message, but that's okay. I never finish messages. You know why? Because the Bible's never through. Amen. Won't you listen to me now? I told these men, if you'll do what God says to do, he'll bless you. See, God blesses obedience, brethren. God blesses obedience. And I'm seeing God open door after door after door for these two men. Now, I want you to notice what God said. You say, preacher, I need a blessing. I need God to open a door. I need God to do something in my family and in my home. Apply some scriptural principles. Apply some scriptural teaching, and God will begin to open some doors. Look what he said here now. He said in verse 2, you fear the Lord, and you keep all my commandments now that I've commanded thee, thou and thy sons and thy son and thy son's sons, all the days of thy life, man. You don't just do it for a little while and then quit. Stick with it. Live for Jesus. Amen. Finish your race. He said, it's what I'm going to do for you. Now, God's word is always right. He said, it's what's going to happen. He says, that thy days may be prolonged. Well, I knew somebody was living for Jesus and they died young. You do. God is saying this. You want to live a good life, a joyful life. You want to have your days prolonged. God has purposes that I know nothing about. This is a general statement saying this. Don't go against God's word. Don't play the fool. Don't live like the devil. And you'll live a healthy, happy, joyous life. Say, well, trials, preacher, you'll be joy. You'll have joy in trials if you're living for the Lord. Amen? How many of you in here have had some severe trials in your life and God gave you joy right in the midst of trials? Raise your hand real high. Look around you now. Look around you. There's some folks been through some deep waters in this congregation. But I'm here to tell you that God was with them. God was with them. Why? Because God keeps His word. That's why. God said, you do right. You live for me and I'll show up even in the midst of your trials. Look what else He said in verse number three. He said, hear, O Israel. Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it. He repeated it. He said, don't forget to keep my commandments now. Do it. What? Reverence me. Keep my commandments. Do it. Why? He said, it may be well with thee. How many of you living for Jesus say it's been well with you? I want to say it's been well with my soul. Amen. It's been well. Listen, I mean, I'm having the time of my life. Well, preacher, what about before you got saved? Thank God those days are over. Amen. I've been set free, amen. Living for God is the greatest thing that's ever happened to me. He said here in verse number 3, he said that it may be well with thee and that thou mayest increase mightily. How many of you are having it great? God's met every need. Listen, God's just been there. He showed up. He showed Himself strong. Listen, this is the promise of God. It's for our lives. I know it's for the children of Israel, but we can learn from them. We have promises from God's word that God will keep His promises. Not one promise of God. All the promises of God are in Christ. Yea and amen. And then he said this, look at it. Not only in verse number 3, that it may be well with thee and that you may increase mightily as the Lord God thy fathers hath promised thee in the land that floweth with milk and honey. He said, God will prosper you. God will bless you. Now you're going to have to live for the Lord. You can't live with one foot in the church and one in the world. You can't do this thing on a hit and a miss. People say, well, I tried God and He failed. No, you failed. God never fails. Amen. See, we've got a lot of Christians now. I want you to listen. Running around saying, well, you know, we tried to do it God's way and it didn't work. No, you didn't do it God's way. I'm here to tell you, God's way always works. I said, God's way always works. You don't have to worry about God failing. He never fails. And so you can pin your faith on what God has said in this book right here. He's going to bring it to pass. And so He said, I want to talk to you about how to live. And I want to close with this. It's important that we fear God, that we reverence Him, that we teach our children to reverence Him. The way we're going to do that is for us to reverence Him. Listen, if there's no prayer in your home, if you don't have prayer with your family now, you don't break open the book and have Bible reading with your family, your children to see that church is just an option for you. Now, I'm just being real with you because I want you to understand something. Then it's not going to work for you. You know what I call that? I call that inoculation. How many of you remember as a child getting inoculated? Do they still do that, by the way? Do they still inoculate people? Say, what's inoculation? That sounds kind of gruesome. Well, it felt gruesome when I was about 6 years old. They give you just enough of a disease, just enough of it now, to where that disease can't be a threat to you, a deadly threat to you. They give you just a little bit of it, right? And it inoculates you to the greater part of that disease to where you can't become deathly ill, supposedly. And there's a lot of folks that's done that with religion and church. They've inoculated their family just a little bit. Just enough to say, oh, we're Christians, right? We go to church when it's convenient. If there's not something going on in the family, or if there's not something going on at the ball field, come on. We go to church if it's convenient for us, we go. But now if we got something going on out of town or something going on, you know, we don't even go to church when we leave out of town. It's the Lord's Day, but we don't go. God don't expect that of us. See, that's the kind of mindset that's ruining the next generation. That's right. Well, you know, we can't tithe. I'm talking about being inoculated. We can't tithe. No, you won't tithe. Oh, here goes a preacher talking about money. Oh, I've had some men of the church ask me, you never preach on money. And then when I do, you gonna make that statement in your mind? Listen, money doesn't upset me. It ought not upset you. It's all God's. But don't you think now you're not going to tithe and say, I can't tithe. No, you won't tithe. Be real with yourself now. Your family knows what's going on. Your children know what's going on. And when you take God's money and you buy you something, what you're doing is you're being irreverent toward God. You're not reverencing God, and you're teaching your children not to reverence God. That's right. And I just think that we need to get real and just understand some things here. I'm talking to you about the importance of living the Christian life. Well, preacher, I'm doing the best I can. Use a little tobacco on the side, but, you know, God understands. But your children's watching, and they don't. Just want you to know. You see what I'm saying? I take a little drink every now and then, but nobody knows. God knows. And your children might. Your neighbors might have saw you in the store getting it. I'm just saying. It's real. Well, I told him I was a Christian, and you know, sometimes when I'm in the break room with them, a little curse word slips out. Well, you ought to be ashamed of yourself. Amen. If you've been saved for any length of time at all, God ought to be working in your heart and cleaning your heart out of that stuff. And see, that stuff starts in your heart before it comes out of your mouth. And we're wondering why our children are living the way they're living and want to have nothing to do with God. It starts at home, brethren. We've got to reverence the Lord. We've got to set the right example. I'm not saying that folks here, I don't know what goes on in your home. But there's obviously some things going on in the homes around our country of folks that claim to be Christians. Our churches are dying. There's people, that there's churches that used to run 200, 300, 400 down to 30 people. Well, it's COVID, preacher. Oh, come on. It's not COVID. It's sin. It's sin. It's folks that have given up on God and quit living for Jesus. Sin has gotten into our homes and we won't confess it anymore. We enjoy our sin too much. We don't want God to help us get over it. We want to revel in it and bask in it a little longer. We need God to help us. Serious business, this thing of our families and our homes. I'm going to close my Bible, but I want you to look down. I think it's verse number 4. Is it verse 4 or 5 that says, Hear, O Israel, the Lord thy God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. Is that what? That's verse 4. 5, 4 and 5, okay. Quoted 2, and then thought I just had 1. What's he saying? Well, first of all, he said, listen, there's a way that as a Christian you ought to live. And I think everybody in here knows that. Most of the folks under the sound of my voice, you've been saved and living for God a long time. You know that God has a standard. There's just a certain way a lady ought to dress. Say amen with me now. There's just certain appearance that God expects out of his people. There's just certain way a gentleman ought to carry himself. Amen. I said amen. There's just certain things should come out of our mouth or be set before our eyes. It's reality. He said there's just a certain way you ought to live. You ought to be kind to people. You ought to be gracious to people. You ought to be forgiving to people. Shouldn't we, brethren? You ought not harbor bitterness and anger and malice toward others. He said you ought to love the Lord. If I'm not mistaken, that word all, and this is something that grabbed my attention, all is mentioned three times. All thy soul and all thy might, all thy heart. There ought to be a fervency about us. I'm not so sure that it's that right there that's what's killed us. This lukewarmness, this going through the motions, this form of godliness, to where we just go through them, there's no passion. It's almost like we just kind of shrug our shoulders and say, what'd you think about the message? What about that special song? Did y'all have a good Sunday school class? Did you have a good visit? Everything's just kind of in the middle, isn't it? Kind of lukewarm. And we know what God said about lukewarm, and I think it's killing the next generation. I really do. And so I'm imploring you, and God help me. I don't want to be a lukewarm Christian. And it's easy to slip into that. It really is. It's easy to get to the place to where, you just kind of become middle of the road, And I don't want to be that. I want to be fervent. I want to be passionate about this. I want God to be thorough with me. Amen. I don't want just to go through the motions and know what to say and what to do and how to do it. I don't want to be a professional Christian. I want to be a fervent Christian. And I need God's help to do that. I want to keep short accounts with the Lord. And I believe you do. Say, preacher, I've been hurt. I'm wounded. I'm sorry about that. And I mean that when I say it. I don't know what hurts in your heart. There's so many Christians in our land that have been hurt. But I want to tell you something. I've been hurt too. Just so you know. Preachers get hurt too. We all have decisions to make, and I'm going to close with this. When it comes to this thing of loving God, we have decisions to make. We can either revile on those that revile us or love God and love those that revile us. We can either persecute those that persecute us or we can love God and pray for those that persecute us. Which do you think is the best for your children? We can either go eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. Or we can go the second mile and help those that have tried to hurt us. And go after them and try to reconcile. See, that's a Christian. That's what God's called on us to be, brethren. I know it matters what you put on and how you present yourself, but these are some of the more weightier matters. How are we going to act when someone comes against us and tries to hurt us and tries to tear us down and attack their family? What you going to do, attack them back? Well, I'll show them. I'll get them. Your family's watching. Your children's watching. You're going to teach them that that's the way you handle things as a Christian. So be careful. Be careful. going to harbor bitterness and malice, and I'm not going to forgive them. Your children are watching. I can't tell you the times that I wanted to go after somebody. I wanted to go after him. Hear me now. I wanted to go after him for coming after me, but really it was my family. I don't know. God's just given me, people can jerk me around. Don't try it, amen. But people can jerk me around. It just doesn't affect me that much. But now I love my family. And there's just something that flares up in me when somebody attacks my family. I feel a sense of responsibility and protection over my family. And there's been times that I wanted just go toe-to-toe and let a man know, you know, about himself. And then God would remind me, your children are watching. Your children are watching. You're going to teach a valuable lesson right here. Be careful. God, help me to be a Christian. Where's Hudson at? Where's Hudson Dean? Is he in the building? Stand up there, Hudson. We're going to close with little Hudson tonight. I thought about you, buddy. I read something this week. Raise your hand back there, Hudson. How many of you know little Hudson back here? Hudson is a fine young man. He's a fine young man. I thought about you, buddy. I read something this week. You can sit down, Hudson. I just wanted people to see who you were. I read something this week about a preacher who, one of his Sunday school teachers was out in the young children's class, and so he filled in, and as the class was ending, he went around at the room, and he said, I want you to tell the preacher, I want you to tell the preacher why you love God. And so we went in a room, and this one said this, and this one said this, and boys, he went around the room, he got different answers. You could imagine little children. I mean, it's just wonderful. Little children are a blessing of God. Amen. Just the things that come out of their pure heart. Then he got to this one little fella. And he said, what about you? He said, I don't know, Pastor. He said, I don't rightly know. He said, I guess love for God just runs in our family. I thought about Hudson. Some of the things that little fella get up and say, just as a matter of fact, you can tell it's coming straight out of his heart. Amen. What a testimony. I guess it just runs in our family. I pray to God that the little children of your family, the little children of this church, would be able to say that. If somebody were to come to your children and say, hey, tell me about mom and dad, would you try to muzzle them? Or would you stand tall and say, go ahead, son. Tell him. Let's stand to our feet. There was a lady who was trying to show off in front of the preacher. He had gone by to see her. And she was trying to show off, and she wanted her pastor to know that she was an avid Bible reader. And so the little girl come running up and said, hey, preacher, how you doing? And the mother said, now, little Cindy, don't worry. The preacher's visiting. He'll be gone here. You just go over in your room and play. And so she stayed and she started saying some things. She said, now, Cindy, why don't you run in the next room and get that book? You know, the book that mommy just loves to read. Thinking she was going to come back with one of them King James Bibles. She came back in the room with the Sears catalog. Your kids will tell on you. They're watching us, brethren. Our children are watching us. We're a model to them. They imitate us. Right? We're a mentor to them. God, help us to live right. I want to live right for Jesus, first of all. But I want to live right for my sons and my son's sons. I want to live right for my family. They're watching. I want to set a good example to them. I want to help them. This world's hard enough as it is, right? I'm going to ask the pianist to begin to play. You bow your head with me.